Morning, church family. I have the honor of reading the scripture today. The scripture is Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Amen. God, add a blessing to the word.
Amen. The message today is just a continuation of messages that we've been having for the past few weeks. For the past few weeks, we've been talking quite a bit about the issues of repentance, obedience, belief, baptism. And today is not going to be all that much different, really, except that we're just going to do it just a little bit differently. Right? So before we start, let's get started and ask God's blessing. Lord God, our Father in heaven, in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we come into your holy presence, ready and anxious to listen to your word, great God in heaven. We've prepared our hearts, we've prepared our minds by allowing Holy Spirit to wash us, to cleanse us, great God in heaven, so that we can have our minds free to listen to your words as you present them through your servant today. I pray specifically, great God in heaven, that Holy Spirit would move and that each individual who is sitting here today or who would eventually hear this message would glean something that is important to them. We pray, great God in heaven, also that you would remove me out of the way, remove my own personal beliefs, my own personal biases, that your word will come through and it would come through pure. So we thank you for this opportunity, great God, in the name and by the authority of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. For those of you who love to put titles on sermons, you can title this one, "After Baptism, What Next?" And this basically title came as a result of thinking about this whole concept of baptism, repentance, belief, and some of the misconceptions that we've had about what happens after baptism. So by way of introduction, I want to ask a question, really, and I want to start in that question, start talking about food. And of course, the question you're all going to have is, what in the world does food have to do with life after baptism? Okay, so get it out of your system. Ask the question. You know, I'm glad you asked that question. By a show of hands, how many people out here just love to cook? Show of hands. Don't be ashamed. Okay, a few. Next question, how many people just love to eat? Okay, now I'm talking to the right people. Okay, thank you. Love to eat. You know, one of the interesting things is that I remembered growing up when I was a kid, my mom would be cooking. And the amazing thing is my mom could cook, right? And what happens is that as she's cooking, there's a certain aroma that penetrates and permeates the entire house. And it was just something that was awesome. The amazing thing is that the length of time that my mom and probably some of you all spent cooking, it was pretty substantial. Because she cooked what they say, how do they say it now, from scratch? Okay. I don't know what that means. I mean, it's like, go cook. How can you cook from a scratch? But anyway, we had our little garden on the outside, so she went outside and she picked the beans, right? She got the lettuce and the tomatoes and everything else and bought the produce and she cooked. But the amazing thing is that after she was finished cooking and she put the food out for us to eat, kid you not, less than 4 minutes, boom, the food is done. And anyone ever experienced that? Am I the only one? You experienced that, right? Spend all of this time preparing this meal, and then it's gone. And you wonder, I feel for my mom sometimes. How did she think about that? Do they really appreciate the work that has gone into this meal? Okay. The interesting thing is that the art of cooking, it's sort of like being lost. Why? Because we have the microwave. Right? Y'all know, how many of you all own a microwave? Don't. Okay. So we have this microwave thing going on, and it's pretty easy, right? What you do, you go to the grocery store, you get a few things, and you stick it in the microwave, and you pull it out, and it's done. Just like that. But you see, what happens is that there are some disadvantages to the microwave. How many people have, I can't say cooked, but heated up food in microwaves, right? And then when the food comes out on the outside, it's nice and hot, and the inside, it's still frozen. Ever experienced that? It's still frozen. Or sometimes what happens is that you take it out of the microwave, and then you find that if it's something with flour or something, it almost tastes like a cracker. You know, it's all dried up and lacks the taste and the flavor. So I've experienced that. So I'm not a big fan of microwaving, right? Even though I do it. But then long before the microwave, I remember there was this thing called a crock pot. Anyone knows what I'm talking about? I don't see the young people's hands going up, one or two, right? The crock pot. Some people call it the slow cooker. Okay? Now, one of the nice things about this slow, well, let me ask a question. For those of you, I don't need to go into all the details, really, but those of you who prefer the microwave over the crock pot, show hands. One person, the young folk, and then the really, really advanced, mature people. I could understand why. Okay. It's convenient. It's easy. How many prefer the crock pot? Good. I thought so. Because I prefer the crock pot also. And the main reason I prefer the crock pot is that, you know, yes, you have to dial it and set it for 4 hours or 6 hours or 8 hours, but you know that after those 2 hours are finished, you come home in the evening, you open up the crock pot, and oh, all of those flavors just start bursting. Then the thing is that the taste, it's so much richer. Because what happens is that with the crock pot, time is spent working with the ingredients in that crock pot, slowly bringing it to a boil. And anyone would tell you that the food that's cooked, that's slowly brought to a boil, tastes a whole lot better than the food that was basically by the fire, you turn it up really high, right? I'm going to put my son on the spot here, right? When he's hungry and he wants to eat, what does he do? He puts the food on the stove and he turns the fire up high, right? And I don't know how many times I got to tell the boy, you know, when you're cooking, the higher you put the fire doesn't mean that it will cook faster, right? My grandmother used to say, watch pot, don't cook. When you sit and you continually look at the pot, it doesn't cook. So there's a big difference between the microwave food and the slow cook food. And similarly, in our life, in our Christian walk, some of us look for the microwave Christianity, and others are content with the crockpot Christianity. So let me demonstrate to you what each of these Christianities look like. And to a large degree, I mean, yeah, I wanted a microwave. I prayed. I said, God, give me patience. Give me it now. Right? That's microwave Christianity. And I remember, and I'm starting from the beginning also of my walk with Christ, because I thought I was walking with him, and I said, well, God, let me know you, and I'm going to do whatever I can to know you. And I decided that, you know, it's time for baptism. So I went through the whole process of baptism. And when the pastor put me down into the water, I don't know if you all know him, Victor Simpson, right? He put me down into the water, and I got up from the water, and I'm expecting, okay, it's going to happen anytime now. Anyone can tell me what I was waiting for? I was waiting for the clouds to roll back, right? And I was waiting for this big voice coming from heaven, hitting me, saying, well done, good and faithful servant. I was waiting, and I thought that right at that point in time, since I was repentant and I was baptized, that all of a sudden I would be clothed with perfection. And I waited for it, but I found that as I went along, you know, Kenneth, for some reason, it didn't seem as though this baptism took. Because I'm supposed to be a good person, right? But I find that I'm still lying and stealing and cheating and doing all the things that I used to do. What happened? So I'm praying and I'm asking God, God, you know, I need to work on my patience and I need to work on my goodness and my love and all this fruit of the Spirit that you tell me about. I need to be working on that. But it was kind of weird, you know, that still I find myself in this place where I'm not making much progress. Maybe, just maybe, I need to be rebaptized. Because everyone keeps telling me that, oh boy, when you're baptized, you're a new man. Because the Apostle Paul said so, right? He says that when you put that man into the grave, right, and you raise him up, it's a new person. Ta-da! But the same old Kenneth is walking around. How do you explain that? You see, that's what I would call microwave Christianity. And it tells in our walk in life also. Any of you ever been through a trial? Nobody. Man, I'm the only one. Okay, well, let me tell you what my experience and the experiences of the few people. Y'all stop lying. Anybody ever been through a trial? Put your hand up. Okay, good. Now I'm talking to the right people. I don't know how you did it, but here's how I went through trials in the past. God, help me to learn this lesson quickly so that I can get out of this trial. Wait. You're stealing my prayer now. That's my prayer. Okay? Help me to understand and to learn the lesson quickly so that I can get out of this trial. But you see, what happens is that it don't happen that way. Because what God is saying is, God, he says, Linda. You all remember that? Everybody's seen that, right? Linda, listen. God is telling you, I want to take you through an experience. I want to take this slowly. Because reality is that if it is, it's like traveling, really. In a couple of days, we'll be leaving to go down to Florida, and really, I want to get there really quick. But as I put my foot on my pedal to the metal, and I'm driving within the speed limit sometimes, right? And I'm driving, what is on my mind? Getting out of the trial. My mind is focused on getting to the end of the trip. And I don't have time to smell the roses. I don't have time to experience all that God has for me to experience as I go through life because I'm a microwave Christian. But on the other hand, now we have the Christian who says, okay, God, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. I want an experience with you. And with this Christian, what happens is this, or this believer, or this disciple, what happens with this individual is that, as I always say, it really doesn't matter to this individual how deep that valley is. It doesn't matter how dark that valley is. It doesn't matter what is in the valley. The only thing that's important to that believer, the crockpot believer, is who he or she is walking through that valley with. Amen? Amen. Yea, Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. So what God is taking us through with the crockpot Christian, he's saying, listen, I'm going to put some things into your life. I'm going to let it simmer a bit. Because this is the only way that you can truly become like me. Because isn't that what it's about? Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 says, what did it say? Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So we are in the process of being made into God's image. And what does that look like? So for the rest of the message, I'm going to show us what a crockpot Christian looks like. Amen? Now, the interesting thing is this, that we'll be taking communion later on. And one of the things about communion, it's like the word says, communion. God wants to commune in union with us, right? That's a relationship issue. So God is in the process of creating and building a relationship. Jesus, he did his part. And the guy's still working, right? But what happens is this, that we tend to look at the repentance thing as it's a done deal. But the interesting thing is that when he said, I would send Holy Spirit, what he's actually doing is that Holy Spirit was there also. He's been there. And the interesting thing that God is saying, he says, listen, Kenneth, or you put your name there, Kenneth, your life has become unmanageable. You are out of control. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He says, you need to change. You need to repent. And the word repent basically means that to restore or to be restored to its original form. And in Christianity, we use the word repent to mean that we are now a changed person. And our restoration now comes when we are now becoming made into the image of God. Kind of like the prodigal son. You're familiar with that story? The prodigal son, well, he had it all. But he left. He spent it. He came back. And he was restored. And that's what repentance is about. So, in effect, what we're looking at is we're looking at repentance as being an event as well as a process. The event from the point of view that we said, okay, my life has become unmanageable. I need God. And then the rest of the time, God is showing us. He also shows us, well, you know what? Your life cannot measure up to what I'm looking for right now. But he's not like some parents have done that, right? You've done wrong. Don't do wrong anymore. What he does is he comes alongside us and he says, listen, this is not the way to do it. This is not the way. I'm going to guide you into the way. At the point that we said, listen, I am repentant. I recognize that my life is miserable. I have done wrong things. And not only have I done wrong, but I am wrong. It's at that point where we say, I just got a song. Okay. When we get to the point when I got to sing it, people, can I? When we get to the point when we can say, goodbye, world. I stay no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasures of sin. I stay no longer with you. I made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. When we've come to that point, when we've made up our mind to go God's way the rest of our life, that's the decision that we've made for Christ. We've made that decision, but now comes living that way. And unfortunately, what happens, brothers and sisters, is that we've made up our mind to go God's way the rest of our lives. And along the way, sometimes we slip and fall and we wonder, Did the baptism take? Did it take? I'm here to tell you, listen. Last week we read it. If you believe, then the baptism took. But what happens is that as we go along, remember, Holy Spirit is not going to make decisions for you. The Holy Spirit is not. What Holy Spirit is going to do is going to come alongside you and he's going to say, well, you're thinking of doing wrong, ain't you? Sorry, Holy Spirit uses proper English. I'm sorry, okay? You're thinking of doing wrong. Bad idea. So what happens is that, as the Apostle Paul says, you know, to do right is in me. But those things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the things that I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. But it's not me who's doing it, you know, it's the sin that's in me. And once we recognize that it's a process, right? That Holy Spirit comes alongside and he says, okay, you know something, Kenneth? No. That's not a good idea. I'm just saying, it's not a good idea. But what happens is that because that idea has been planted in my soul for so long, sometimes I give in. And instead of using the cell phones, parents, I hope you're still checking your children's cell phones, right? Instead of using your cell phones in the right manner, we use it for evil, right? Where we start sexting. You all know what I'm talking about, right? And I'm sure that while you're doing your thing on the cell phone, or maybe you're at the office, and conveniently at 3 o'clock, you decide that you're going to go to the coffee stand, right? Or conveniently, you just happen to be in the same place as this female. She's fine. But you're married. So these things do happen. But what happens is that in our minds, we know and we have this inclination that, you know what, Kenneth? You might be doing wrong. Because I say that that's how Holy Spirit works. Because he's there to guide us into righteousness. And if it is that you're not hearing, that you're doing wrong and you're not hearing Holy Spirit, I would say Holy Spirit not working with you. Maybe there are different reasons for it. I don't want to get into all the reasons right now, but maybe you've been so long not listening that Holy Spirit says, you know what? I probably need to leave you on your own for right now. When you're ready for me, give me a call. Right? But all in all, what happens is that Holy Spirit is not going to force us into doing the right thing. Why? Because God wants free moral agency. He wants us to make a choice. I set before you good, and I set before you evil. And what does he say? He says, listen, choose this one. Choose this one. We went to school, right? We want to know what's on the exam, right? God tells us what's on the exam. He even gives us the answers. Choose this one. A. Door A. What do we do? I think you're trying to trick me. So I'm going to door B. Right? Now, Holy Spirit is there to guide. And what happens is that as we're walking this life, he's there pointing things out to us. Because what happens now is that as we grow in doing good, as we grow in obedience to God's way of life, that's when we start growing in faith. And as faith grows, and how does faith grow? Because what happens is that as we obey God, we see the blessings of God. As we obey God, God fulfills his promise. And faith is doing whatever we had said, what God told us to do, in spite of what we may think. Because we trust God and we trust that he is going to fulfill the promise that he said. That's the faith. And the more that we obey God, the more we grow in faith. I'll give you an example. You have a situation where a lot of bullying happens in schools. Bullying happens in the office also. It's a little more sophisticated, right? So I'm going to pick on Michaela. Where are you? You're not the bully, okay? You're the Christian. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And what happens is that you go to school. And as you're in school, you see these kids ganging up and bullying another kid, right? I'm sure you've seen things like that before. Now, Michaela has a couple choices, because what happens is that they're encouraging her to come along and join in with them in doing evil. At this point, Holy Spirit now gets with Michaela and says, nah, that's not good. So Michaela listens to the voice of Holy Spirit and says, nope. But not only does she listen to the voice of Holy Spirit, she takes it a step further. And she tells them, listen, what you all are doing is wrong. Stop it right now. That's Holy Spirit. That's power of Holy Spirit. That's stepping out in faith that when we do the right thing, God is pleased. And as we do the right thing, that's when we start growing. And the more incidences like that happen, is the more we grow into the stature of Jesus Christ. That's more we grow to be more like him. Because we ask for patience. That's what I ask for. God, give me patience, please. And what happened? Gave me a wife. Gave me 2 kids. I love them to death, don't get me wrong. But these are opportunities that God gives to me to work on my patience, right? Because really, when the greatest opportunity to work on patience is working with people. Amen. Amen? Because I've known of people who work with others and work with things. And most people prefer to work with things. I take the one gentleman in particular in Trinidad. I will never forget this conversation. He had a PhD. And he has this garbage can, and people ask him, someone asked him, well, why are you throwing garbage, and you're a PhD? He says, look at this. He picks up the garbage, and he throws it into the garbage truck, and he puts it down, and he's still, and he's looking. It's still there. It didn't move. It didn't say, well, you know, I don't want really to go here. Can I go across here? Can I do it like this? It's easier to work with things. But God has called us to work with people. So when I prayed for patience, God didn't say, bam, there you have it. Right? What did he do? He says, you want patience? I'll give you patience. I will give you the opportunity to develop patience. I'll take you through the crock pot, right? And give you, and I'll put it on 12 hours. So that when you're good and done and well cooked, right, you're going to have patience. Oh, you want goodness? I will give you opportunities for goodness. And as we go along the way, what's going to happen is that you're going to be tempted to make some wrong decisions. Because as you go along the way, you're going to see people in need. And you're going to be tempted to turn to the left and turn to the right, but not go straight ahead and say, can I help you, my sister? That's the temptation. Or we know how we do it, right? We pretend not to see it. Okay? So, you see, we pretend not to see it. But what God is saying is, tapping you on the shoulder. You know you saw that person. Right? You are now 1/10 of a mile away from that person. And I told you 1/10 of a mile ago that you need to give that person some money. And your conscience is just stirring inside you and say, maybe if I travel fast enough, I'll forget it. Oh, I'm talking to some people here. Oh, I'm not the only one that did it. For a while there, I thought I was a sinner. But then what happens is that you say, you know what? The only way that my conscience is going to be cleared right now is I got to turn around. So you turn around and you drive back and you do what God told you to do. And now your conscience is clear. Because that's Holy Spirit working, being witness with our conscience, with our spirit, that we are the children of God. Crockpot Christianity, right? He never said, I'll give it to you immediately. He said, I'll walk alongside you. I will walk with you and I will guide you into righteousness. This is not something that we can get with the microwave. right? The best that we can get with the microwave is our own efforts to fake it. I faked it, yeah. Really, when I was growing up, I really didn't like to be around people much. People were annoying, okay? Why? Because they contradicted me. I was always right, and we know that. So I didn't like to talk with people because they thought I was wrong. But reality is that we got to change that. When we allow Holy Spirit to come in and do its work, what in effect is happening is that we are telling Jesus Christ, say, Lord, you are my Lord, you are my Savior. Yes, I give you permission. Come into me. Dwell in me. I want to read a passage of scripture. The scripture reading for today, I want to read it again. Right? It's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And even here we can see that this whole process is indicated here. You know, one of the things that I've learned over the years is when you read a scripture, you've never read it enough. You read it the first time, and I ask God, okay, what else is happening here? And you read it the second time. Oh, you got a little bit more. Oh, cool. And you read it the third time, and you get a little. And each time we read it, something else comes. And I'm not talking about reading it now and then 5 years from now you read it again. I'm talking about within 15 minutes, you know, you're still reading the same thing over and over and over. And then one of the things that came to mind here, it's like I almost said bam again, but when I said it the first time, some people here got scared. I'm not going to do it, right? But bam. One of the things that hit me was, and I'll tell you, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice. At baptism, that's what we did. Our bodies, we said, yes, God, here I am. Take it. Do what it is that you want to do with it. I am dead man walking. Not really worth much. Why am I a dead man walking? Because you already paid that price, right? I deserve death. You came and you saved me. My life now belongs to you. Got another song, right? My life now belongs to you. So when he says that your body is a living sacrifice, I am now living a life of sacrifice to you. And it says that holy and pleasing to God. Now, at the point of baptism, can we really say that our bodies are holy and pleasing to God? No. No. Actually, when the Apostle Paul used the terminology, the grave, right, the watery grave, what in fact he was saying is that the old way, I stay no longer with you. Pleasures of sin, I stay no longer with you. That's dead. I am now risen to a new life in Christ, right? And this is your spiritual act of worship, to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable. And that's part of the process of the crock pot, the slow cooker. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. At baptism, was our mind renewed? No. Our direction was changed, and we had to start from zero miles per hour and put it into first gear and move and allow Holy Spirit to do his work with us. And hopefully some of us at least up to 15 miles per hour, and some of us are up to 30 and 75 miles per hour, and some of us just flying down the super freeway, I hope. But the key issue here is that when we start our walk with God, it's Holy Spirit that's always there. Christ is the one who started it, right? And he said that, listen, if you want to hang with me, you got to be willing to sacrifice something, right? Because in effect, what he did is he sacrificed everything. You know, it's not when we look at the scripture and we see the scripture of Christ coming to this earth And the scripture talks about him living as a human being and in all manner was tempted just as we were. Sometimes it's difficult for us to understand that because here we have God being tempted as we were. But remember, he was all flesh. 100% unadulterated human flesh. And as he was on the cross, he's looking at these individuals who are mocking him and spitting at him. And I could imagine, I don't know if it's safe to say that because I don't want to be blaspheming up here, right? But I can imagine God the Father looking down. What was that like? This is your child. We have parents in here, right? This is your child. They disrespected him, paraded him through the streets, you know, almost naked with a loincloth, right? Spat upon him, crown of thorns upon the head, whooped him, laughed at him, and now they're casting lots for his robe. What's going on with the father? Did he have to do it that way? Now there's debate on that, right? But regardless as to whether or not he had to do it that way, he chose to do it that way, right? Why? Because, as the song says, because of his love for you and me. We're about to take communion, right? Could we get the ushers, if you could come forward. As they prepare, I want us to start thinking about this love that Jesus Christ had for you and me. It wasn't a microwave type love. It wasn't a love that is here today, gone tomorrow. And you ever notice with the microwave things also that they get cold pretty quick? Right? That love gets cold pretty quickly. But with the crock pot, I mean, that love stays hot. Right? You could unplug that crock pot, but once you leave it covered with the love of Christ, right? The food in there stays warm for a long time. The flavor is maintained. And what Christ is saying is, listen, I'm taking you through some stuff. Whatever things that you're going through, it's okay. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And what he did is on that night, when he said, this is my body broken for you. Remember that already he had brought himself down. God becoming man. He brought himself down and he took himself even further. He sacrificed, and when there was nothing else to give, he's proving continually his love for us. And when there was nothing else to give, what did he do? He gave his life. It is finished. But he sent Holy Spirit. And he says that the blood is the covenant of the new. Sorry, I missed. The blood is the sign of the new covenant I make with you. It's new. It's fresh. Forget the microwave. Take the crock pot. Because reality is that this is where all the flavor is. Right? The reality is this is where God is working. Right? Covered by the love of Jesus Christ. So as we take the elements today, what I want us to remember is this. Your sins have been forgiven. God isn't finished with you yet. Holy Spirit continues to work in your life when you allow him to. And as we continue to allow Holy Spirit, we continue to grow in the grace and in the knowledge, in the love, in the peace, joy, long-suffering, self-control that is Jesus. Amen? Could we pass the elements? Lord God, our Father in heaven, in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, here we are in your presence with this opportunity to partake of the elements, the bread and the wine. We pray, great God in heaven, that God, we are just thankful. Thank you, God, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that he was a living sacrifice and that now he's at your right hand, making intercessions for us. Help us, great God in heaven, as your Son said, that whenever we take this, that we remember what was done on our behalf. Help us to remember, great God. And this wine, Father, a symbol of the covenant, a symbol of the blood of Christ that was shed for us. We accept this. We accept this in recognition that there's a new covenant, that our old way of doing things, Father, has been replaced by your way. Help us, great God in heaven, so that we can recognize continually that your blood was spilled, that you allowed your Son, Jesus the Christ, to suffer on our behalf so that we can have this new covenant, one that is sealed with blood, his blood. So we thank you for this and we remember. And in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we accept these elements as we remember everything that you've done for us, including your death. And when you had given your life, it was finally said, it is done. We look forward to your return. And in the meantime, we remember you and we worship you. In the name and by the authority of your Son, Jesus the Christ, God, we thank you.